This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. On July 1st last year, Kate Steinle was shot and killed. An undocumented man, Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, is currently on trial for her murder. The shooting spurred anti-immigrant groups nationwide who rallied to end sanctuary city policies. These are policies that limit how much city employees may help immigration and customs enforcement. Critics say they protect undocumented people from being handed over to immigration authorities, even when they commit a crime. San Francisco adopted these policies in 1989, designating itself a city of refuge. Today, that status is in danger. A new policy by the federal government would force cities to cooperate with immigration authorities in such cases. Francisco Ugarte is an immigration attorney at the San Francisco Public Defender's Office and is defending Lopez Sanchez. He came by to talk about the real effect the new federal policy will have on the city.
Well, there's been a lot of reports about this new policy, but I don't see this new policy really changing anything on the ground. I've been an attorney for around 10 years, and I can remember one incident where someone serving a federal sentence who is undocumented was not transferred immediately to deportation, and that is the case of Mr. Lopez Sanchez. I've literally never seen a case where somebody who completed their federal sentence not get turned over to immigration. The narrative around immigration and what happened on July 1st, those two things are different. We don't see any relevance between sanctuary and what happened on that day. Yet that's what everybody's talking about. That's what the right wing is talking about. Well, there was a study recently from the University of Chicago and New York University where two law professors studied the Secure Communities program. Secure Communities was a federal program that's now disbanded that required local law enforcement to engage in civil immigration enforcement. Following a study of several years of the implementation of that program, there was no correlation between public safety and immigration enforcement. There is no studies to suggest that collusion between the two, between local law enforcement and immigration enforcement, actually promotes public safety. Mm-hmm. So this narrative that is being restated over and over again in the right-wing media by Republican presidential candidates is actually incorrect. There is no correlation between public safety and immigration enforcement.
This policy has been in place since 1989. Has it been challenged that much? I mean, if it was this big of a problem, why has it not been challenged in a major way since then?
Well, I think, yes, there have been issues around sanctuary policies and protests here and there. I think the reason why it's so heightened today is because we live in a society of mass deportation. We have never in this history, in our country's history, seen such entrenched collusion between immigration enforcement and local law enforcement. When designing a program for mass deportation, it would be inefficient to rely merely on federal officers because federal officers wouldn't have the capacity to engage in mass deportation. You have to look at other institutions in society to hope that they cooperate with immigration. And in the last 10 years, we've seen the number of deportations dramatically, exponentially increase. Mm-hmm. From 1996, there were around 50,000 deportations a year. 2001, there were around 120,000 a year. 2013, the height of Secure Communities, there were 438,000 deportations a year, the vast majority of which were a direct result of a contact with local law enforcement. So I think myself, I'm a deportation defense attorney. I've had many clients, survivors of domestic violence, that were involved in a domestic dispute, initially arrested for being the dominant aggressor in a domestic dispute. But after the police sorted it out, turned out that the person who was originally accused of a crime was actually the survivor of domestic violence. Yet, due to misplaced, misguided immigration policies, the survivor was transferred to immigration for deportation, the result of that person, her, calling the police for help. Those situations replicated over and over
Is
and
that
over
common?
Again.
You see that all
I've
the
had
time?
Five clients in San Francisco alone as a single deportation defense attorney. If you Google domestic violence survivors deportation, you'll see cases over and over again. In San Francisco, we saw people who were charged but never convicted of a crime being transferred to immigration. And these people, you know, 40% of undocumented adults have a U.S. citizen child. So we're seeing families get separated on a wide, wide scale.
So you said this is really not going to affect you a whole lot in your work. Can you explain that further?
Sanctuary policies exist in virtually every urban area in the United States. That's because law enforcement recognizes that in order to promote public safety, they can't collude with immigration enforcement because immigrants will not want to report crimes. I mean, chiefs of police in their associations say sanctuary policies support public safety. So at some point, this anti-immigrant political narrative runs into the truth and runs into policymakers that say, well, these sanctuary policies will actually hurt public safety instead of help.
So do you feel then that this move by the administration is largely symbolic?
Yes. It's bluster. It's symbolic. It's designed to tell the public, or maybe even tell these Republican Congress folks, that
it's okay.
We're doing something about López Sánchez. You know, that's what this policy seems.
You think it really boils down to López Sánchez?
I think that unfortunately, the case of Mr. López Sánchez has become a bellwether or a symbolic to a struggle around sanctuary cities and immigration enforcement. And you mentioned Mr. López Sánchez, you mentioned Ms. Steinle, and the anti-immigrants become very loud, very aggressive, and they say things like San Francisco should be charged with the crime. You know, San Francisco is responsible for the death of Ms. Steinle. And that's just not the case. And like I said before, originally this case was reported as if it was an intentional homicide. That's not the case. This was a single shot ricochet off of the pier. And we've never seen a single shot ricochet charged as a murder in San Francisco. If the alleged, if the person who, you know, if Mr. López Sánchez was a white college student visiting San Francisco and accidentally discharged a weapon, it's debatable as to whether he would ever have been charged with the crime.
San Francisco, the city of refuge since 1989, is that image being tarnished? And, you know, has this case and all this talk about sanctuary city and this new policy, what does that do to the city?
I think people in San Francisco are pretty sophisticated on this issue. And the Board of Supervisors just debated a resolution that would have rolled back sanctuary policies in the fall of 2015 following the incident of Mr. López Sánchez. And the Board of Supervisors resoundingly rejected attempts to roll back sanctuary. Malia Cohen, a supervisor in District 10, said that she's not going to let Fox News dictate the policies, the historic policies of the city. It was an amazing statement. And I think that shows the power of the organizing of the immigrant communities. I've been a part of this movement for quite a while. And I think, you know, we talk about civil rights. Moments like these are how we define our country and our city and what we believe in. And we either have civil rights or we don't. And I think that San Francisco made a really strong statement to the world, to the public, to the country, that immigration is not what caused what happened on July 1st, that immigrants don't cause crime because they're immigrants, that we have due process in the city, and that we're going to fight to protect the rights of immigrants, just like we're going to fight to protect the rights of all people in the city. And there's always going to be a struggle. There are always going to be people trying to take those rights away. And if we ever rest on our laurels, there will be rollback of civil rights. But in San Francisco right now, I think we're winning the debate. So I feel that as long as we live in a world where there's such a continuity of experience between people who live in Central America and people who live in the United States, I just have hope that we'll continue to promote these policies and have, I mean, this is just a sanctuary policy. We're not even talking about, you know, the laws that allow people to adjust status, to become residents, to become, you know, lawful members of the community. But yeah, I think that we're going to fight and we can win.